grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we talk about the power of the Lord. And we talk especially the power of the Lord, which he has for the resurrection of the dead. The power of the Lord to save us from our sin, and the power of the Lord to overthrow the devil and all of his cronies. For the power of the Lord is a mighty thing. He has the power to cast down and to raise up. He has the power over all the heavens and all the earth. He commands power over all the angels in heaven. And get this, he has the power over you. It's important that you hear such words, for as Jesus said, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. You may think you do, but if God has the power to make all the stars fall from the heaven, if he has the power to send his one and only Son so that by his death you would be saved, and if you believe he has the power to forgive you all of your sins, he too has the divine power to heal you, to comfort you, and to hold you in the palm of his mighty hand and keep you in his kingdom for all eternity. It is very important for you to hear these words today. For as you gather to hear his word, to partake of this blessed sacrament today, and to hear those holy words that your sins have been forgiven, you also must hear his commands to obey him. You must hear the consequences of your failure to uphold the law of God. And you must believe, for the power of the Lord is mighty and great. But how can you doubt? How can you deny him? How can you be like those in Corinth all those years ago who professed there to be no resurrection from the dead? Especially when we have proof. We have eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have God's own extensive and powerful word declaring that to him belongs the glory, the life, and abundance of his wonderful mercy, which lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. But you do, though. You doubt the power of the Lord. You doubt because you live like you have the power. You live like you have the power to control so many things. You haven't a love for him as he has for you. You haven't a love for your neighbor as God has. For that one who is poor, who is hungry, that one who weeps or is hated for whatever ungodly reason we make up just so that we don't have to associate with them. So we fail. And we have failed miserably. So yeah, we deny him. We deny him who has created us. Unless, of course, it's quite convenient in those often times of distress or turmoil or illness or poverty, when we are shaken, when we are cast down, betrayed, forgotten, and unloved. Why, even when Jesus himself was preaching to the crowds chasing after him, when he was healing all those who were sick, he felt that mighty power go out from him. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Summon your power, O God, the psalmist has said, the power of God by which you have worked for us. We call upon him the one true God, because blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, we just said together. We call upon the name of the Lord because he is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been proclaimed in your hearing. And he said, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. So we rejoice this day for all that God has done for us, because in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Yes, Jesus is the one to be heard here today. Not the opinion of some neighbor you might have who thinks church is just but a waste of time. Jesus is the one who heals all diseases. He is the one now who casts out unclean spirits and enables his dear children, you know, me and you. He enables us to live a good life both now in time and forever in eternity. So here again, the power of the Lord. In your hearing today, listen how he has come to save you from your sins. And in your mouths today, receive his own body and blood, which rescues you from all sin, from Satan, and he saves you from the power of death. Oh, maybe that's it, isn't it? You come today not just to hear of him who has rescued you from all your sorrows of an eternity in the pits of hell. You come for something else, isn't it? That's it. Yeah. You come just to touch, taste, and feel his mighty presence in, with, and under the bread and the wine laid out here upon the altar of the Lord. But there's certainly too little offered here, you know. That little wafer and that minuscule amount of wine, that's not enough to satisfy anyone's hunger or thirst. Indeed, these little wafer and little bit of wine does lift your spirit, and you rejoice at the coming of the power of the Lord to save you, don't you? You do. Why, even little children get it. I see it in their faces. I watch them as you bring them to the altar during the Holy Communion, and I look at their faces, and they're like, do I get some? They get it. They want it. They want to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. They earnestly seek the opportunity to come and kneel at the rail and partake of such a divine blessing. But then we very openly, very publicly confess a practice of closed communion. We here in the LCMS believe that Scripture teaches that the Lord's Supper is such a precious gift from God, in which Christ gives us his true body and blood in a miraculous way, together with the bread and the wine, for the forgiveness of our sins and for the strengthening of our faith. Because the Bible teaches that this sacrament may also be spiritually harmful if it's misused, and that participation in the Lord's Supper is an act of confession of faith. So we then ordinarily commune only those who've been instructed in the teachings of our church and who have confessed their faith in these teachings, like this Vicky did this morning, and you did at your confirmation. But the power of the Lord is so vast, it goes way beyond such eating and drinking. It really does. Merely in your hearing today, the Holy Gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, it works to produce and enrich your faith. The power of God burns the devil and gives us immeasurable strength, comfort, and help. We believe, teach, and confess that it was not a plain, ordinary, mere man who for us suffered, died, and was buried, who descended into hell, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and was exalted to the majesty of and supreme power of God. It is, hear that? It is Jesus, the very Son of God, the Son of the living God, who's come to save us. Likewise, the power of the Lord is made perfect in your weaknesses. As for a man who is weak in faith, welcome him, for God has indeed welcomed him. Therefore, if God has welcomed your weak, unbelieving neighbor as one of his creation, might you too do that? Might you ought to welcome them as well? Share the love of God with them. Forgive them when they wrong, and lift them up in prayer. For whoever believes on the Son of God, be his faith strong or weak, has eternal life, as promised by God. Through the power of the Lord, we're enabled to break free from our slavery to sin, and we are then so sure to accept that that other guy, whom we may not even know, be them black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. We welcome them. This is also true for those who are even closer to you than some person on the street, like those in your own family or those in your own church. For here today you have heard the sweet gospel of the Lord. You have heard of the mighty power of the Lord. And shortly, you and I together will plead with God in the Lord's Prayer to forgive us, as we too forgive others who sin against us. And he will. Day after day, by the power of the Lord, he will forgive you. Day after day, right up until that great and glorious day our Savior returns to raise the living and the dead, he will comfort you. He'll take care of you in the mightiest of storms. He will provide food for you when you are hungry. He will heal you when you are sick. Oh, and he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. By the power of the Lord, he comes to me and he comes to you. He comes to you, his dear, beloved children. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now may that peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.